Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Off the Rails show on the OFD podcast. I'm your host, Joshua Vole, site manager, emperor, supreme warlord, and defender of the faith over at onefootdown.com on the SB Nation Network. And flying a bit solo today, could not wait. There might be a little bit of some scheduling bumps over the next few weeks for the OFD podcast, and that's all right. But we will figure something out and manage it. Today I really didn't have time over the next few nights, and today was just kind of an impromptu, like, I need to talk about this a little bit more. So, and we're talking about the proposed 12-team model for the college football playoff and Notre Dame. Now, the only thing I put up on the site, and I ran like 2 seconds after it, that they dropped what, some of the details were, I ran to the site, because the first thing I'm reading when you read it the first time, it just, all it did was scream Notre Dame can get no higher than fifth. So to me, I'm looking at that as a hindrance instantly on your path to winning a national championship. So without much opinion at all about it, I thought, well, this is, this could be something that forces Notre Dame to join a conference full time. So I ran to the site. Here's the details. Is this enough to join Notre Dame into joining the ACC full time? And currently right now, as we speak, of all the poll votes going on, we're sitting at a 68% nope and a 32% yep. That was a bit higher percentage-wise about 12 hours before recording this. It was about 5 p.m. on Friday. About 12 hours ago, early in the morning, it was a little bit swinging more to the yep. Anyways, and that part doesn't matter. Just saying, this is where Notre Dame fans are at. So there's been a lot of discussion on Twitter, on message boards, on the site, about what this means and doesn't mean for Notre Dame and the whole nine. So let me just lay it out just real quick, the details. I don't know, 12-team playoff of what's recommended. And look, for the people like, oh, no way Notre Dame's going to get left out. I saw a lot of comments that were still like in the camp of Notre Dame will figure this out. No way they'll leave him out of the top four. Yes, they're going to. Let me be very blunt about that. They are going to. This proposal isn't going to have much change involved. And the parts that it does is not going to be on how they find the 12 teams. So the details are that of this 12-team playoff, the 6 highest-ranked conference champs get in as auto bids, and then there are 6 at-large bids. The 4 highest-ranked conference champs will get a bye, and those will be 1, 2, 3, 4 seeds, while other 8 play first-round games on campus. So, how does this fit how does this all fit with Notre Dame? And we've all been talking about it, so we don't need to go into much detail. But this just basically means that Notre Dame, as an independent, will top out at number 5 as a 5 seed. They would, in 2012, if this would have been going on, Notre Dame ranked number 1 in the country and 12-0 would have been the 5th seed. And there's all sorts of, everyone's got the model over, like, how would this look the last 12 years? And I cannot remember who Notre Dame played in the first round of South Bend in 2012, but I know that model exists out there somewhere. But that doesn't make much of a difference right now. And so, like I said, I saw this and instantly ran to the site to poll everybody to see what they do. Is this enough? Like, is that too much of a slap in the face? Is that too much of a hindrance? And most of you did not feel that way. And then the conversation started going in about what this means and what this doesn't mean. And then the propaganda machines for Notre Dame and hardcore Jack Swarbrick supporters started kicking in about how this is better for Notre Dame. And we'll get to that in a minute. So instantly there started being a kind of tug of war about how good this really is for Notre Dame. For college football, it's great. As a college football fan, I think this is fantastic. The only thing that I would have changed at all would be your quarterfinals and bowl and neutral sites. Those should be on campus as well. The first neutral site game should be the semifinals. But the quarterfinals being so you're, that's kind of a, and that is kind of one of the advantages for Notre Dame. Like, if you're in that 4-8 spot, you're hosting a game in South Bend rather than a bye. So last year, I think that it showed that, you know, Notre Dame in 2020 would have hosted Coastal Carolina, which, you know, I mean, they were the darlings of the college football world last year, but I still don't think that gets a whole lot of Notre Dame fans excited. Even me, who, I mean, I can't speak for Jude and for Brendan and for our good friend Greg, 100%, but that doesn't get us too excited, I don't believe. But it is what it is. It's a playoff game. People say, well, this is going to be fun. Yeah, is it? Because I think Notre Dame was good enough to wipe their ass with Coastal Carolina last year, but that's neither here nor there. That's fun, winning a playoff game. But it still doesn't mean much. So the question is, or the discussion is leaning towards, is this good for Notre Dame? Is this better for Notre Dame? Is what's being sold? And I think that's where I have a problem. At its core, I don't have, either as a college football fan and even a Notre Dame fan, I don't think I have too much of a problem with the format. As a college football fan, I have no problem. I think this is great. And I'm the guy who is like, let's go back to the BCS. But they're never going to do that. They're never going to detract or contract. This, if we're going to have an expansion, how is that going to look? And I'm down for this, I suppose. I don't know if this will cut the season down to 11 games. I don't know if this, everyone can make an argument on either side of if this is going to improve the regular season or make it worse. I think there's good arguments on both sides for that, right? Because, I mean, Jude was very adamant about that you still needed to schedule good opponents to get in those automatic rankings. In our last OFD podcast, we kind of had a little bit of discussion, and Brennan and I were like, no, you really don't. Your out-of-conference opponents don't need to be anybody. You know, you can go undefeated, and then the wins mean more. As far as like a non-loss means more than a good loss. So if you're playing Colgate, as he suggested, or Youngstown State or whatever, that beatdown win is still better than a good loss because it's not a loss. Yeah, there, it's rare where you lose to a team, even a good loss, and you rise up in rankings. It happens. And Notre Dame knows, I mean, this happens a lot. Not a lot, but this does happen with Notre Dame. And case in point was 2017 when Notre Dame lost to Georgia. It was classified as a good loss, and it really bolstered them throughout the season, especially when those first playoff rankings came out, you know, up until the beatdown in Miami. But for the most part, a non-loss is better than a good loss, okay? But that's either here or there. What we're seeing here is that Notre Dame values its independence over easier paths to a national championship. And in effect, they value independence then over a national championship. Now, you may think that that's, you know, hogwash, and they don't, you know, just because one doesn't mean the other. But does it? Name me another college football program that doesn't try to do everything in its power to secure the best path to national championship. I mean, this is how seedings work. This is how playoffs work. You are rewarded with those four seeds, those first round buys for your season to make, that's a reward because it makes your path in the playoffs easier. Now, it doesn't always work out that way, right? It's not always that way. And it's not always, but that is the general way of it. It should be easier. So to say for Notre Dame to the Swarbrick supporters out there saying that, well, you know, playing that first round game on campus is kind of a makeup way of playing a game than a conference championship game. Because, you know, that's a risk in those conference championship games. My problem with that is, and I saw this from a few comments, was people, the overvalue of conference championship opponents is what gets me. Like, it most, outside of the SEC championship, most of your conference championship games, one of them's good and one of them's kind of a fucking dud. So to say that a number 8 at large on your campus is an easier path than a bye week after winning a conference championship game against a, you know, a 8-4 team or a 7-5 team, which happens all the time. That doesn't seem easier to me. It doesn't. So therefore your path is not as easy. I mean, I get it. I understand it all. So if that is the case, you value your independence over the general easier path to a playoff, that's fine. That's what you're doing. That's how you want to live your life. And I'll never get mad at people living their life the way they want to live it. That's just not how I, that's not my philosophy. But don't sit here and sell me that this is better for Notre Dame and then come up with some scenarios like this is, like it's good to not be a top four seed when every thing in my life and every tournament contest in my life would suggest otherwise, that it's better to be the top four in the top four seeds. It just is. It's an easier path. But, you know, if you have to use that argument to sell yourself on it, what are you doing? I mean, what are you doing? Why is that? Why do you need to make that argument? Because you think, just say it. Just say that it's Notre Dame values their independence and is willing to take a tougher route. That's fine if that's what it is. I'm not overly mad about it at all. I mean, I think exactly what I think. I think that they value their independence more than winning a national championship. Doesn't mean they can't do it. Doesn't mean that there won't be some years where, you know, that can work out for them. But it also doesn't mean that I think it's the easier way. And I think when you look around the country at the top programs in the country, everyone out there is trying to find the best. I'm not sure if easy is the right word, but, you know, you're looking for every edge you can get to win a national championship. And that agreement does not fit. But look, it was going to happen. I mean, look, 2020, I've been coming up with all this. 2020, you know, you can't put the toothpaste back in the Ziploc bag or what, you know, you can't put Will Smith back in the lamp. It's just, this isn't how it works. People saw Notre Dame in a conference in 2020. And so now, and this isn't so much for fans, like you know, even our age, you know, 40 and under or whatever, but like for the establishment themselves, where I believe that there was, I think reverence is too reverent of a word to use, but there was a little bit of respect for Notre Dame's independent status within the power structure of the NCAA and the conferences. Coaches may hate it. Fans certainly hated it. But there was a respect within the power structure that, you know, wasn't pressing back on it overly hard. But then you saw 2020, and you saw Notre Dame in a conference full-time. You saw Notre Dame playing a conference championship game, which, you know, Michigan fans cannot say that they saw. And so now it's kind of like out of the bag. So the only thing that the power structure could do now to, you know, with this Notre Dame in a conference thing was exactly what they did, was to say, all right, you have the inclusion. You are included in this 12-team playoff. But you can't have this path of the top four seeds because this is going to take a conference championship. Now, for years and years and years, I've been talking about how the only way these guys could have ever forced Notre Dame into a conference full-time was to require, for the playoff, was to be a requirement for it to be conference champions only. So then there was no path for Notre Dame. Zero path. Not a harder path, a zero path. That would be the only thing that would have forced Notre Dame's hand. And they chose not to do that. Because of the reverence that I believe within the power structure for Notre Dame. So now with 12 teams, and I had said the best thing for Notre Dame to stay independent is expansion of the playoff. Once you get to 8 teams or more, it's not going to matter as much about who won their conference. And I think a lot of us, myself included, thought it was going to be the next step, the next evolution of the playoff was going to be 8 teams. I didn't want it. But that doesn't matter. Most of us out there thought the next step was going to be 8 teams. Instead, we got this 12-team playoff, which quite honestly is a lot more compelling than an 8-team. And not as overbearing as a 16-team. I'm not in favor of a 16-team playoff. I think that's overkill. For you watch enough college football, I don't understand why it would ever be needed. Andy Staples makes the argument of the more better games you can get, the better. And while that's true, it's still there's still not a lot to be desired with some of those matchups that you would have got. But anyways, so instead of the 8 and all that, we have this 12. and Notre Dame has that path. But for the first time ever, for the first time in the history of college football, Notre Dame is not on the same path as an Ohio State, Alabama, a Clemson, a Michigan, a USC. They're not on that same tier. Even throughout this entire time, Notre Dame had the exact same path as so many of those other schools. Even with the conference championships, it doesn't matter. You have the same access, the same exact access as like in Alabama. Now you do not. You are giving up some of that access to remain independent. You know, and there's a part of me that respects that a lot. I have argued at length over the years about what Notre Dame's independence means, why they want to be independent, why it's important to the school. Pete Sampson wrote a great article on it over on The Athletic. If you haven't read it, I don't know where in the hell you've been, but go ahead and find that somewhere. Find that on The Athletic or find a buddy that can send you a copy. You should read it. Because especially to those who don't understand why Notre Dame is doing this. Independence is important to them. I get it. And that's what I'm saying. Just don't sell me that this is like so great for Notre Dame as far as the national championship's concerned. It's great for Notre Dame as a football program being an independent. But as far as winning the national championship, this is not a better path than being a four seed and the bye. This is not. I'm not blaming Jack Swarbrick either. I think that this is probably the best he can do. Again, back to the toothpaste and the Tupperware. When that bit of it's gone, this is the best he could get out of it. You know, it's regardless of the reverence anymore, other schools that have a vote want this access, and Notre Dame is the easiest one to squeeze out. Why would the SEC be like, you know what, I still think Notre Dame should be included in this, in the top four seeding. Think they should be. And so if you think this is better for Notre Dame, then I can't imagine you are. How would you feel? There's no way, because how would you feel if this didn't happen? Notre Dame could be included in the 14 bye that's going on, and there was a year where there's a battle between Notre Dame and fucking Texas A&M for the four or five spot. Almost all of you that are like just sold on this, that this is great for Notre Dame, you would be arguing for Notre Dame to be that number four spot instead of the fifth spot. And why do you argue it? Because it's better. It's not worse, it's better. It's an easier path. And again, this isn't every year. You can't say it's easier every year. So, you know, if I sound like I'm going back and forth, I am in a way, all I'm doing is admitting that nothing is the same, right? Like the seeding system for tournaments and whatever sport are there to reward the better teams with the easier path. That's just how it's built in tournaments and shit like that. That's how it's built. You watch March Madness, that's how it's going. That doesn't mean that it's exactly that it's always better for all of those teams. Just saying that's the path that they set up for them. And why you wouldn't want that path is beyond me. Unless you're not willing to give up something for that. And Notre Dame was not willing to give up its independence for that easier path. So they value independence more than winning a national championship. Even if it's by a degree, that's still the case. So to keep arguing that this is better for Notre Dame, and like, look, let me explain it to you like this. This is a positive thing. No, it's you can make it. Then you, hey, congratulations on being a very optimistic person. That's great. I bet that is great for you. But that's not always reality. Sometimes reality is harsh and dark, and here are some facts that you need to get, you know, end up having to deal with, unfortunately. And that's all I'm saying. Don't swallow. If you're somewhere on the fence, and this is to me, this feels like politics. You know, where I think it's silly to argue politics with anybody, because you're not changing anybody's mind. You're just not going to change anyone's mind. Maybe that makes me a bad politician, and that's fine. I will own that. I would probably not be a great politician, but it's a waste of breath to try to change someone's mind when this shit's on hits on an emotional level. Politics hits on the same emotional level as love and as religion. And college football veers to that direction. So, you know, I'm not gonna change anybody's mind, and I'm not trying to. But if there's any of you out there that are open-minded to, you know, to hearing this, I'm just saying, don't buy into this is the better thing for Notre Dame as far as winning a national championship is concerned. Because it's not. Overall, over a course, this is not a better route. But it's still a route. So if you want still a route, but be independent, then that's fine. It's like being a trucker and going from Chicago to L.A., and if you're in, if you're in this certain union, you could take this highway straight from Chicago to LA, you know, with gas stations all on the way for you. And if you're not, you got to take these other roads to get there. You can still get there. There's still gas stations, but it's not this straight path. And that's even a little harsh of an analogy, but it's still, I mean, somewhat right. So that's all. But you're your own boss driving across the country. You're not having to call in. You're the one making the decisions. And that's fine. Again, Notre Dame values their independence more than the easiest path to winning a national championship. Those two things went hand in hand for many, 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 many years. And now, with this playoff, now that isn't the case. If you're fine with that, then you're fine with that, and that is fine with me. But don't, you know, let's not call it one thing and say it's another. It's just it's a harder path, is all. What? It can be a harder path. See, I can't even be black and white on this. I know there's gray. It's college football, for God's sakes. There are going to be years where this certainly will line up all right for Notre Dame. And then there's years where it's like, really? really? You're telling me we get Florida up here for a playoff game in December and it's going to be fucking 62 degrees? What? You know, whatever. I'm just saying. It's not like we hadn't seen that. Clemson comes to mind where you finally get this Southern team up there and it's like, pretty gorgeous out. So I don't know. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to get Brennan and Jude or Greg to come on here to bounce these off of. And I'm working off of zero notes in front of me other than just the format scribbled down. My apologies if I bounced around a little bit, but it just needed to be said, and I didn't feel like writing an article, so I figured I'd sit down here for a half hour and talk about it. Notre Dame values their independence more than the easiest path to a national championship, the supposed easiest path to the national championship. That's fine. But just don't say that, let's not pretend that it's easier to be the 5 seed rather than a 1-4. Let's not get crazy here. Let's not pretend that conference championship games are always games of mega powers going against each other. That happens a lot in the SEC because the SEC is fucking good. And they generally have at least one, if not two teams in both divisions every year that are top 10, top 5 teams even. You know, that's not the case in the Big Ten. Certainly not the case in the ACC. Do not get me started on the Pac-12. So, no, it's to tell. I mean, and that's not to say that a, you know, I'm not set to like a 8-5 Utah team is going to be ranked number 4 just because they're an auto bid. And I think that was a part I made a mistake with early is I very stupidly equated the 6 auto bids with the top 6 seeds. And I put that in a comment or something on the site. I didn't put that in the lone article that I put up on it, but I did put that in the comment where I might have tweeted it out because I think I tweeted out an example of that. Yeah, I did. And which is the 2018 example where I had the top 6 seeds as being the auto bids. So that was my bad. That definitely. So that still would have been Notre Dame at number 5. It would still have been Notre Dame at number 5. And so Notre Dame would have been playing Penn State. So Notre Dame would have been playing Penn State, I believe, at home in the first round of the playoffs. How does a December's game in South Bend give you an advantage over Penn State? Go ask Rick Meyer how he feels about Penn State late in season. And no, he's not going to tell you that the Snow Bowl is the only game alive. The reason why the Snow Bowl was so sweet was because Penn State had been that trip up against Notre Dame late in the season. So no, you know that's not LSU coming to Notre Dame Stadium, and who was the 11 seed, by the way, and 18. So, or you know what? I may have had that all screwed up, but I think that. Maybe it would have been Washington being 11 seed. At any rate, I was just right there was just me saying I screwed that up on a tweet as far as the top 6 being auto bids. But I still don't find I'll never find. There's no argument that can be made that's going to tell me that a tournament setup, which is always best teams, easier path. And Notre Dame is not a part of that, and that's the same. That's better for Notre Dame. It's not. And that's fine if you want us being independent. But you can't say that it's, oh, this is easier, man. This is a net positive. I don't believe that at all. And you start adding in injuries, the whole nine, the wear and tear to the mix, and I don't think it's not a net positive. Not, you know, in a static world, maybe, but things aren't the way. It's very fluid, and injuries happen, and all sorts of stuff happens. Suspensions for grades happen. Suspension for grades. That's still gonna affect you even if you got the bye. Again, all I'm saying is that let's not say that this is somehow better for Notre Dame to never be in the top 4 seed and be an F5. It's not. You cannot say that. But what you can say is that Notre Dame values their independence more than the easier path of winning a national championship. And if that's what you want, that is fine. And that's it. That's it. I think I said all I needed to say, and I think I said it all about 9 times the same way. So I listened to that Andy Staples podcast just a little bit before I got on here. And one of the big, you know, it's like, I said my only beef was quarterfinals being neutral site games. And I think, you know, if you're a top four seed, it should be on campus. The problem is that the bowl contracts don't line up. And so I think what Staples was saying is like those are like done in like 2028, 26 or something like that. But that the playoff, and I could be wrong about this, but I think the playoffs, this 12 team playoff, I believe he said, can be implemented for the 2023 season. So you still have two more years under the current playoff structure, 21 and 22. And then you can move to this. But you still have your bowl game contracts in place until like 2026. So it's a way to appease the bowl games, I suppose. And there you have it. But I think that all needs to fucking go away. You know, the reason why you can keep your top, I don't know. I'm not going to get into that discussion. I'm just saying this is going to happen probably in 2023. So we'll see then. I don't know. But again, I came on here because I had seen enough. I had seen enough selling, too many salesmen out there trying to sell me something that I know is not 100% true. And you're not going to ever tell me that a 5 seed has an easier path every single year than the 1-4 seed with a bye. That's not how tournaments were designed. Yes, it can some years, but not every year. And I'm not going to be sold on it on that way. But I am sold on Notre Dame wanting to be independent, and that's fine. That's also fine too. And all the ramifications of all this won't be able to be debated until a decade later anyways. Right? We can talk about it. We're blue in the face right now, but we're not going to get any results to see who's right, who's wrong. You know, at least a decade, you need some data on here. Cause you got over 100 years of other data. You're going to need a little bit extra, than maybe just like 2 years worth to start saying, oh, this is how this is going to be. So that's it for me. I talked longer than I wanted to, and I talked in circles a few times. I apologize. But I wanted to get something out again. The OFT podcast, I'm not sure how the schedule is going to work out in the next couple weeks, but we will definitely do what we can to serve you, the listener. Because you probably clicked on this and I'm like, what the hell? This isn't 3 hours long? No, this is just a quote-unquote short one. But just a reminder to everyone, please get on over to Apple Podcasts, leave a rating, leave a review. Every review that you leave on there will be read verbatim on the next OFD podcast. And we really appreciate that, man. That really helps us out. Helps us be seen when people are like trying to find, hey, what's a good Notre Dame podcast? And then they get all crazy stumbling upon ours. Either they join the cult or they are just appalled by the language and the time dump it takes to get through one of our podcasts. But it's fun nonetheless. So thanks again for listening. Again, this is the Off the Rails Show on the OFD Podcast. And as always, go Irish.